This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Home opener, live coverage throughout the day on SportsCenter. NBA, barring any setbacks, Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook will return from facial surgery tonight versus the 76ers.
Sometimes it's easy to see a difference, and sometimes it's not. Valvoline Full Synthetic High Mileage with MaxLife technology is different, and you can see why at seeadifference.com. Valvoline, 140 years under the hood.
For lunch or dinner, it's Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food, Bandits, where you can enjoy Saks' Pizza, the area's favorite. Bandits' famous wings, Sparky, Buffalo, Sweet Teriyaki, Garlic Parmesan, and Spicy Breaded. There's Taco Chef and Chicken Salads, Meatball Subs, and an appetizer menu which includes Tim's delicious taco meat and melted cheese nachos toasted to perfection. Weekday happy hours from 4 to 6 and all day Sunday with ice-cold 250 huge mugs and $2 domestic pints and bottles. Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food. Head to Bandits, 13th and 281. Grand Island.
This is Sam O'Toole with New Frontier Ag. In a few weeks, spring field work will be in full swing. Make sure you're ready to go with dependable low-hour tractors from New Frontier Ag. By going to newfrontierag.com, you'll find detailed information and pricing on tractors starting at 100 horsepower and up, plus other equipment from tillage, strip-till machines, and grain carts. We have many options to finance your equipment needs, and we'll always be adding to our inventory. Call New Frontier Ag at 308-340-8989 or go to newfrontierag.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Wednesday. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you. Our Cunningham's comedy clip coming up. The Nebraska football press conference, keep our fingers crossed, with Mike Riley, is scheduled at the bottom of the hour. Also, Brenna Van Langen going to join us. UNK alum, women's basketball analyst for a lot of networks, but she had the Nebraska game on Sunday against Ohio State. The Big Ten tournament starts with their play-in games today. Holly Carnes is scheduled to join us on our Loper link as well. Randy Bushcutter co-hosting. How's it going, man?
Good. Got a lot of stuff going on today.
State, you ain't playing.
What's that?
You ain't at state. You ain't playing no more.
That's right. I mean, that's right. If you're not there, you're done. It was kind of interesting. I went to some district games over the last weekend. All sorts of different environments to be in. I had a lot of space, loud gym over at Grand Island Central Catholic last night. Grand Island Central Catholic's game the night before. Loud gym. You couldn't stand up in the place. I couldn't stand up for the national anthem when they played Gothenburg. There were so many people from Gothenburg there. I was packed in. I was like a sardine. And, you know, I'm bigger than a sardine.
Yeah. I had the Amherst people overflowing.
Yeah.
You know, like they said, I want to know what flavor of gum he's chewing. I could tell.
You could tell. Thank goodness for good personal hygiene when that happens. And then compare that to when I went to the game at Central, and I was, I think, the only one on that end of the gym doing the game besides the guys at the official scorers table. I mean, it was kind of unusual. Kearney High traveled pretty well, but there wasn't anybody there from Central.
No.
There was nobody there.
Shocker.
It was interesting.
Shocker. Are you crazy?
And the fun part was they unplugged me. when the game was over.
Well, we've got to get out of here.
Well, yeah, because they're in a big hurry to get out of there. And the fact that there is an orange extension cord going right to the radio guy laying over the top of the bleachers because there's nobody there and it's all roped off, we wouldn't actually look at that extension cord going to the radio guy. We would just unplug it because all we have to do is look at the outlet to figure out where an extension cord goes.
I want to throw this out because it bugs me. And this is a topic for a whole hour show. Because I see this on social media, and I just can't come to grips with it yet. And every time it happens, I keep thinking I'm getting to be that codgety old man. Get off my lawn! You know, I'm just in an angry place.
I'm glad I could bring that out in you, by the way, with my griping about. Yeah.
Is fan behavior worse than it's been, or is it just because we've been around it longer?
I think it's because we're around it longer.
It just seems to me, and it's weird because I'm not covering any different schools.
Yeah,
you might cover different kids because in families, you know, they're coming through for the first time. So maybe you're getting new fans, but you're not getting new schools.
I think it's a cycle within a community, though, because I don't really remember this. It doesn't strike my memory with Kearney High Fremont games before, but the district final between Kearney and Fremont. My goodness, the fans. And again, they were yelling, closely guarded, 5 seconds, 5 seconds. The ball hasn't got across midcourt yet. It's the 10-second rule at that point. You got 10 seconds to get there is no closely guarded rule in the backcourt. It's only in the front court. And they're yelling. They're insane screaming this. And I just really want to go, that's not the rule. You know, Fremont was really kind of over the top. But again, I think other times Fremont's probably just fine. I think it kind of goes in cycles a little bit within communities.
And I'll tell you what, I think for the most part, as usual, our buddies, and when Jim Langen's in, he's on the officiating side. And I always think that they're doing a pretty good job. And again, I think that's from our game. You always think you're the one that's getting the bat.
They don't settle. Officials don't care. Officials don't care who wins.
They don't care.
They're getting the same check regardless of who wins, who advances. They don't have skin in the game. If they do a bad job officiating, they don't get district games. They don't get state games. Trust me, they want to get it right. They want to do the best they can. That doesn't mean you always agree with every call ever made, but they're not out after you. They're not trying to get you. They don't care who wins.
I just chuckle now. Some nights are better than others for officials. Some nights are better than others for broadcasters. Some nights are better than others for teams.
Yeah, for all of us.
But, man, over the last 6 weeks here, there's just a couple times where I have to shake my head. You know, and it doesn't matter if you're a great team or not a great team or somewhere in between. It just that line is down the middle. And, you know, I hate to point out instances because then it seems like maybe I'm giving something away.
Well, we can pick on Fremont, though. We can pick on Fremont.
Well,
they're out of there.
I don't want to pick on anybody specifically because I think at times 90% of every crowd is good.
Well, I think there's a mob mentality, though. I think if you have a ringleader, whether he or she plans on being a ringleader, they become that because if they're the disgruntled, really loud, obnoxious fan, people kind of feed into that, and then it takes on its own little energy and becomes that nabob of negativism that just kind of grows from that.
Here's, I guess, and I hope this doesn't get me into trouble, but this is kind of the thing that has been the one thing that is the burr in my saddle. You know what? If it's a 30-point game in the fourth quarter and you're ahead, your team is ahead as a fan, shut up.
You don't have to worry about getting too many more calls.
I mean, come on.
Let's keep the clock moving. Let's get out of here.
Well, it's not even that. You're up 30.
Yeah.
What's it matter? Did you lose a house payment because of that?
But that's a call against my son, my daughter, my nephew, my niece, you know, whatever.
Every time now, and here's what adds to that for me. Now, every game for the most part, we read the sportsmanship code, which is about the same in every single place. Is it helping?
Well, again, I still think...
I think it's helping the kids. I will say this. I think it's helping the kids,
I think it's helping the coaches. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it's helping the fans.
Well, and again, we probably notice it at a higher level than what it really kind of is. In other words, you don't ever have the story in the newspaper of some young man that helps a little old lady. It's always when somebody does something wrong, it stands out. So I think I think probably still the vast majority of fans are pretty darn good, but you don't notice how quiet they are. You just notice how loud the negative ones are. And by the way, if you stand up to yell at an official, you've crossed the line. I don't care what the situation is. Don't care.
And then the good part of it is last night, I'm doing the Amherst-Kennesaw game. Like I said, at Northwest, Amherst just packed in there. Kennesaw, good crowd, not as packed in, but great crowd there at Northwest last night. And I mean, every time the band's playing the Amherst fight song, you've got the alum. It doesn't matter if they're in school or if they've been out for 20, 40, 50 years. They're singing the song. They're spelling out Amherst, mm-hmm. and they're doing it, and they're backing their team like that. So that is what is great
about
the fandom. I mean, you've got grandma and grandpa and uncle and aunt and you know, your kid, because you know, in a community that size, you know them all. And it's just great to see that passion. But don't be that fan. Don't be that. Come on. Be, I mean, I'm going to say here, be positive and be woohoo, because, yeah, there's sometimes, you know, it's okay to voice. I did it as a younger person before I got, I mean, heck, I think we all have.
Yeah.
But again,
but there's
you're
a
up
line.
30, there's a touch foul in the lane, zip it. Just zip it. Come on.
Yeah, and that being said, I was last two nights been sitting. Our broadcast area was on the side of the teams that lost. I was on the Wilcox Hildreth side last night, and then I was in the Gothenburg crowd on Monday. And in both cases, I thought that the vast majority of people were just fine, and both of them ended up losing.
And you know what I think is fun? You know, in rivalries, it's the other fans that are the problem. This comes from Terry and Kozad. The smartest thing you've ever said, shut up when you're up 30. Thanks for that. We're going to take a break. Holly Carnes, Brenda Van Langen joining us as we get ready for state basketball, Big Ten. We'll be right back.
NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store located at 2608 East 32nd Street, Suite C. NMC Cat Rental is your partner for backyard projects to the largest construction site. Stop in on Friday, March 13th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for the grand opening. Hope to see you there. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, 855-NMC-RENT. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly cloudy skies for today. Northwest winds 5 to 15, highs in the upper 20s. Tonight, skies will be mostly clear. Northeast winds 5 to 10, lows falling to 6 above. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 21 degrees.
Dan Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for our Looper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank. Kearney, you have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. It's time to bring in the softball coach at UNK, Holly Carnes. Holly, are we going to play this weekend?
Well, heck yeah, we are. But, you know, that's why I'm a little late to get on the phone, because I just got off the phone and we have to push our games back.
So what's the story? Let us know.
So the story is we're not playing Friday and Saturday. So this, and if Rich and Peter are listening right now, this is the first time they've heard of it too. But we're going to play, we're just pushing everything back to Saturday, Sunday. So we'll be in Bolivar, where Southwest Baptist is, at 1 and 3 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we'll be in Warrensburg, where Central Mo's at 11 and 1. So that's what's happening here.
And those are the openers in the MIAA conference. So, yeah. And weather's already climbed a little bit. I know you would want to have more games in at this time of the season.
Yes. We did get weathered out of the Joplin tournament last year, so we lost 4 games there. And then our first weekend, we got weathered out the last day in Arkansas, and we lost 2 games. So we've already lost 6 games total at this point.
With everybody being weathered out there, Holly, who's ahead? Is it pitchers? Is it the batters? Is there an advantage to one offense or defense when that happens?
You know, I would say probably offense, because, you know, now we're having to have our kids throw inside, not on dirt, and then when they get out there, you know, back on dirt, you know, it takes a little bit of adjustments for them to be able to, you know, get back in the groove. We've been lucky enough, though, to be able to pitch at the fairgrounds on some dirt inside, so that's been good for us.
Talk with Holly Carnes, UNK softball coach. Obviously, Coach, you wish the season had started a little bit better. Boy, I thought, you know what, first inning, Katie steps up. Hey, maybe this is a this is an omen, but the new pitching staff hasn't found their groove yet.
You know, it's been interesting because we don't have 2 pitchers right now due to injury. Actually, we get our junior back this week. And, you know, she's the one that's got a lot of experience. She was an All-American last year at Phoenix College. And, you know, we've asked our freshmen to step out there and do a lot for us. And, you know, they felt the weight of the world on their shoulders the last few weeks that we've played. You know, and we've seen some, you know, it's about the process. We keep telling them that. And, you know, you've got to fail, but you've got to also get back up. And these kids have failed, and they've got back up. And, you know, I just really see with Cassie coming back, honestly, that it's going to take some pressure off those kids. So I'm still really excited. I really do think this team is a great team. I mean, you can see offensively the numbers that we've put up. We just need to, you know, get our pitching under wraps and you know, not let the other team score so much, obviously.
Holly, obviously, at the end of a season, a lot of times you'll have you just kind of go with the hot pitcher at that point. At what point do you kind of make that transition where maybe you're going to pitch 4 now, but later on you're going to rely on 1? Do you throw a wide net right now and figure out who's going to be your hot hand?
You know, we will usually go with our hot hand, to be honest with you, because now with the conference starting, we've got to get as many wins as we can get. So, as soon as Cassie's ready to go, we'll put her on the mound, you know, and the second game, another pitcher will get a start. But I mean, if we get into trouble, she'll come right back in to help us out. So that's kind of what we're looking to do here. We don't really have much time to mess around.
Holly, talk about the offense. That is the obviously shining spot so far here in the first handful of games. We know that Katie got off to the good start. Who's following suit?
Mackenzie Dallas right now, she's a, a junior college transfer, and she's hitting well over 500 right now. You know, a kid that we didn't really think would have a ton of power numbers, and she's kind of come in here and really surprised us. We also have, obviously, Katie, but Aaron Dwyer, man, that kid's got an amazing eye at the plate. Talk about a tough, tough offensive lineup to be able to pitch to. And our leadoff right now has already got, 9 stolen bases at this time. She is just lights out fast. When we were in the dome, she tagged up literally on the fly ball and scored from second base. She's that fast.
Wow, that's picking him up and putting him down.
Kind of. Oh, yeah.
That Holly Karn speed we remember from college.
Oh, yeah. I remember being on the radio one time, and a trivia question was, what record do I hold at UNK? And someone said stolen bases, and I was like, oh, they have no idea, do they?
Hey, let's talk about your opponents this weekend. Give us a quick scouting report on Southwest Baptist and Central Missouri.
Okay, Southwest Baptist right now is 5-6. Their pitching staff, you know, their ERAs are pretty high, and I you know, I'm pretty confident in our offense that we'll be able to, you know, do what we do and get some runners on and be able to score. And again, just being able to get Cassie in shape the last 2 weeks has been a big deal because she's legit. She throws like 65, 66. So we're excited for her to come back. They do have a few kids that hit the ball fairly decent, but their team batting average is 287. So they do a good job of hitting as well. They don't have a lot of base stealers, so that's not a big threat for us. And then we move to Central Mo. They're 4-5. They've been at a lot of the same tournaments that we have been to. They've got one really good pitcher. She's already got 35 strikeouts in 33 innings, so her ERA is pretty low. And they hit 269 as a team. And again, they have one kid that steals some bases for them. So I don't know. I think that it's kind of going to be, yeah, we're 0-9. They may be looking past us a little bit, but we're going to surprise some people. And I'm excited about that.
Well, let's get down there. Let's get some softball in. Let's get the conference season off to a good start, Holly.
Okay, sounds good. I'm excited for it. And I appreciate you guys having us on.
We'll talk again soon, all right?
Sounds awesome. You guys take care.
Take care. Holly Carnes joining us here. Part of our local link is, again, their games have been moved to Saturday and Sunday at Southwest Baptist in Central Missouri. Southwest Baptist picked below the Lopers in the MIAA. Central Missouri was picked fourth in the preseason coaches poll.
And it's important to get a good start, to get into the conference tournament, to be able to, you know, be where you want to be. And it's great that the offense is okay. The offense is going to improve through the course of things. If they can get that pitching to improve with Cassie coming back, that's going to be a big step.
Looper men's basketball team will play Missouri Southern State in the MIAA quarterfinals tomorrow night in Kansas City. Tip-off is set for 8:15. The women fell last night. They just need a little more depth. They're in the game the whole time, but they lose 90-70. Central Oklahoma closes the game on an 18-5 run. Now, Amara Williams and Laramie Lewis were named all-conference yesterday. Williams, third team. Lewis, honorable mention. Mackenzie Brown scored 22, tying her career high last night out of Grand Island Northwest.
Yeah, it's, you know, the wrap-up, and again, it's a growing process. Everybody talks about the process of building a program, and I think they're going in the right direction. I just don't know how fast they're going in the right direction. And again, you got to have that depth, because in the conference, you're going to be playing and grinding against good teams every single night in the MIAA on the women's side.
Also in Loper news, the UNK tennis teams, men will be at Division I UNO today. The women will host Central Oklahoma Saturday at Harmon Park, and we laugh because the snow's out there, but it's supposed to be 60 on Saturday, and they would love to have some of that.
And it's going to be 50-something on Friday, so it'll melt and dry. It's going to be okay. I think we're going to have a nice weekend.
The wrestling team, obviously, is off this week. They head to the Nationals. Seven wrestlers head there next week. And three members of the UNK men's track team are headed to Birmingham, Alabama, for the NCAA Division II tournament. Dylan Schroed is second in the nation in the heptathlon. Brady Land is third in the nation in the long jump. And Cole Wellnitz has also qualified in the mile. And by the way, for the men's basketball team, Connor Baronic, the MIAA Player of the Year. Ethan Brozik also on the first team.
Yeah, outstanding. And that just kind of shows the growth that we've been talking about with that men's basketball team all year long. And Dylan Schroed, kind of interesting, qualified for, I think, the long jump and the hurdles. Not going to compete in those. He's going to concentrate simply on the seven events involved in the heptathlon.
Yeah, what a slacker. That's our Loper Link brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Call Russ Smith. They offer all types of loans from FHA, VARD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan, you have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. It's not really the end of the Loper Link, though.
No.
There's a lot of famous Lopers, but, you know, our next guest.
Yeah, it's high up there in terms of, like, athletic of careers after leaving UNK.
Now, wait a minute. I thought the athletic career was pretty good.
It was pretty solid, but that's why it's translated into this multi-million-dollar deal with being a sports broadcaster now.
Yeah, because that's where the money's at. Brenda Van Langen joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. Brenda, what is it, college days or your professional career now? Which one do you choose?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. You know, I had so much fun as a Loper, and it's one of the most, you know, special times of my life. But it's been pretty cool to build a career in broadcasting. This is my 20th year traveling all over, broadcasting women's basketball games all over the country, all over the world. And you know, that interest in basketball at a young age kind of worked out really well for me. So it's all good.
Well, I feel good. I think we had a couple of classes together, and it's nice that I didn't screw you up any by being your classmate.
Randy, when I heard that you're going to be on this show, I thought, oh my goodness, I've known Randy for a very long time.
Yeah.
So it's fun to talk to you.
Yeah, it is good, Brenda. Good to hear from you.
I didn't realize Brenda went to college when she was 8 years old.
Whoa.
Exactly. I was a prodigy.
Well,
that was an old joke against me, Brenda.
Every shot we get. Brenda, let's talk a little basketball here. You had a last chance to work with Kevin on Sunday, and we talked with Steph White last week after Nebraska looked really impressive against Minnesota. And I said, you know what, Nebraska really didn't have a lot to play for outside of it being senior day on Sunday. So should we be concerned, even though Ohio State's a good basketball team?
No, I don't think there should be concern. I think this team is going in the right direction without Rachel Terrio. I mean, as much as they can, losing a great player like that, Ohio State is really hot right now. I mean, the number of points that they're able to put up, and you know, in that game in Lincoln, they had some players that don't typically even make three pointers, just firing it up from three-point range. So they were extremely hot, and I think Nebraska's going in the right direction. And, you know, with the success they've had in the Big Ten tournament in the past, that's always a good thing, too, to kind of get things rolling in the right direction. I think Natalie Romeo is a big key, though. As you know, she's had to come in and fill big shoes, but everybody else around her with all that experience and all that talent gives Nebraska a good opportunity as they go forward here, both in the conference tournament and the NCAA.
Brandon, I find Ohio State rather interesting. They got the double bye. They're the overall number three seed, but they're not even rated in the top 24. Is the rest of the nation kind of overlooking them?
I definitely think so. And, you know, I think it's people saw early that they had those three ACLs and kind of counted them out, thought, well, you know, another year away. And then they just started winning, and you see the scoring from those top two scorers averaging over 20 points a game, and you think, oh, you know, that's all they have. They just, you know, have these two kids that are jacking up shots all the time. And, you know, as they've progressed through the Big Ten, I think they have really shown how good they really are and how good of a team they are. Not only do they have those two great scorers, but they've built a lot around them, and, you know, I don't think their defense has been that great throughout conference play, but their defense looked pretty good against Nebraska the other day. And I think they're peaking at the right time, but I do think they've been overlooked. They should definitely be a ranked team.
And I mentioned they have the double bye. What do you think of that conference format where your top four seeds don't play until the sixth?
Well, you know, you have to do it because of the number of teams that are there, and the SEC has the same situation. But you have to wonder how much of a benefit it is. It's definitely a benefit as you go through and get to ultimately the championship game. But you have to wonder if it causes any concerns on the first day, because you've already, you know, those double bye teams will face a team that have either played one or two days in a row and are warmed up and have the kinks out and, you know, have some momentum going in the tournament. So I think it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. But, you know, every coach that I've talked to in the Big Ten has talked about, I don't want to say complained, but they have talked about how difficult the 18-game schedule has been. And there hasn't been any time for any byes. So I think just having that double bye to have a little relief from the season that they've just had is as important as anything.
Well, and I know Coach Yori dislikes it, then even if you make the run here, you got 2 weeks off before the NCAA tournament. And I know they'd like to change that, but obviously television's the big reason why they can't.
Yeah, and I talked to Connie a little bit after the game this weekend, and just pushing that back a week would be very helpful. And I'm sure there's going to be some discussions about that. Most of the big women's tournaments have moved forward to this weekend. The SEC is going on, the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10 are all happening this weekend. And I'm sure all of them would like to be pushed back a little bit to have a little separation from the regular season, but and not such a big gap before the NCAA tournament.
Brenda, obviously the addition of Rutgers and Maryland this last season has kind of increased the brand for Big Ten. Rutgers is 23, Maryland the overall number one seed for the conference tournament. They're number four in the country. Where is Big Ten basketball in terms of where they are seen nationally?
Well, I think they've, I think they've been improving over the last couple of years. And Nebraska's addition, 4 years ago, I think helped. And also, as you look at what Maryland and Rutgers brings to the table, I think it's just elevated it even more. And, having seven teams in the top 50 RPI is pretty remarkable. And that says volumes right there. And you look at the top of the ACC and the top of the SEC is also very strong, but I think the Big Ten is just as good, if not better, than any conference as far as those top seven teams. So it's been pretty remarkable to witness over the last few years just the growth of Big Ten women's basketball, how much stronger it's gotten. And, and this is even a year where the perennially good teams in Purdue and Penn State were significantly down, and you still have seven teams in the top 50, which really is remarkable.
Brenda Van Langen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, an analyst for a variety of networks, ESPN, the Big Ten Network, and I guess Maryland wants to stay on that one line, I'm sure, and it doesn't look like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't look like anybody past Nebraska can really play themselves into the tournament without winning the whole thing. So yeah. Which team is this Big Ten tournament most important to?
That's a good question. I probably Michigan or Michigan State, if they want a chance at getting in, they've got to win out. And Michigan State, as tough as their road has been with all the injuries, they've won four of their last five, so they're on a little bit of a roll. Michigan has an awfully good team as well. I was there for their senior day this past week, and they've got so much talent, but they've been really up and down. And I think those two, have to make a run and win the championship in order to make the NCAA tournament. But other than that, I think it's important for Nebraska to win this first game against Illinois. And then they'll face off with Iowa. And, Iowa is a team that they've kind of had their number over the last several years. And then Iowa was able to get them both times this year. So, that sets up a really intriguing matchup in the second round. And, I think everybody is playing for seeds in the NCAA tournament to help give themselves a better opportunity, a better seed, a better opportunity. But it's going to be a lot of fun. You look down in that bracket with Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and Ohio State, and I have no idea who's going to come out of there. It's going to be really interesting to see some of those battles.
Well, Brenda, let's buzz you before the NCAA tournament. We don't need to take another couple years off before we have you on the Doug and Daddy Show again, all right?
I would love to come back. Central Nebraska is my home. I grew up in Roseland and went to Kearney, and I taught at Kearney High, coached at Kearney High for a couple of years. So, that's my hometown area. So, yeah, invite me back anytime. I'd love to.
You're welcome anytime, Brenda. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks, Brenda. Brenda Van Langen, you can watch all of the work that she does. We're going to quickly turn to Lincoln now. Mike Riley has stepped to the podium, his spring press conference. Let's go to Lincoln.
Preparation for the year, and then you start playing games. I think the emphasis and the importance of spring practice is pretty obvious here with a, new terminology, some new stuff football-wise, just kind of a lot of newness for the players involved. These things, the focus always has to go to the team and the development of the players. So, in the end, we've got to make this as comfortable for them as possible in a way that they can learn so they can play. That's always a big issue in teaching, really, is that we have a fairly complicated game here that has to be made to seem simple so that they can go play like crazy. In spring practice, we have plenty to do. We want to establish some values as to what we have, what we want to have in a program, just the way we are, and we want to establish some ways that we practice and what's important about practice and practice attitude actions and behaviors, and then we want to improve individual skills and develop skills through drills, and then we want to get teams ready, offensive teams ready, defensive teams ready, special teams ready, all those parts. So we've got a lot to do, more to do than normal. When you've been at a place and had a program, you can start on the first day of spring practice and put the ball down and hopefully run some plays that look like football. Well, I hope that we can get to that fast, obviously. So there's a lot going on, but it's a real exciting time. I always look at it, the spring of the year, it's a dawn of a new day. And so the formation of the team, all the stuff that we get to do, I mean, this is what we really like about this job, is going to work with football players on a football field. And I guess the weather's supposed to be good. Right now we're counting on practicing outdoors. So I'll open it up from there to questions.
Mike, how are you planning on structuring practice so you're able to get a good look at all the guys?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if you all heard it. How are we planning on structuring practice so we get a look at all the guys? And I have actually been going back and forth in my mind on this for a while, especially as I started watching and was back to watch more of the off-season program. And I looked at about 120 guys out there, and I've never had that many in spring practice before. You know, the numbers that we've been used to are right around 75, 80. And so I haven't actually introduced this to the whole team yet, but what we're going to do, and so it will affect your start times too, probably a little bit. And I've only really got this set up for a practice to see how it goes, but we're gonna practice. We've divided the team into two teams, and we're gonna have two practices. Like Saturday, I call one team red, and we really have mixed. We have team red and team white, and we're going, and there's a mixture of, you know, on both teams of younger or inexperienced players and experienced players. Both team red and team white will have both. But we'll end up, for instance, when we go individual period, instead of Keith Williams, our receiver coach, working with 18 guys at one time in individual period, he'll work with 9. And that group will practice for an hour plus. The first team that will practice will be team red, and then at the end of that practice the other team will be stretching. Then they'll both get together and we'll teach our first phase of special teams, which will involve field goal and field goal block. That will be our first day of special teams, and then team red will be done after that. They'll go in, team white will really duplicate what was already done with team red. So the people that are going to be out there the longest will be the coaches, and that will be fun, actually. And I think this is simply best for the players, the opportunity to get coached, get some repetitions. I did not want to have a team period where 22 guys were competing or playing and 100 guys were watching. That didn't sound too good to me. So we worked out this. And if this will work, you know, it'll be good for Saturday because there's no school, you know. So I've got to fit this into Monday, Wednesday, Friday a little bit. And I think we can, because we don't practice every day. So I think we can have ample meeting time to get it done. Because what we'll do for Saturday is we will have our pre-practice meeting on Friday afternoon, and then we'll just show up Saturday morning and start into this schedule. We'll have breakfast and get taped, and team red will go. So I don't have that time. It's about, is Hillary still here? Hillary, are you back there? What time was that first, you remember that first practice time on Saturday?
10,
and then that team will be practicing at 10, and then the team white will stretch at 11. So that's how it'll overlap from there. It's gonna. I've never done this, so. I just thought of it. I should have said somewhere else, just in case I can blame somebody else. But it just came from that idea. Just what I said. I just thought, gosh, you know, we're going to run a team period, and there's going to be 22 guys playing, and there's going to be 100 guys, you know, and that isn't that's workable during the season because you have scout teams running other teams' play, so there's more guys really participating. You basically have multiple team periods going. Spring practice is a lot of interaction against each other, and especially for us right now in just teaching what we're doing. I just don't like standing around. It's a little bit of, you know, we're just gonna try to give guys opportunity. The other good thing about this, I think, is we will learn more about the players. We will find more guys that. You know, that's kind of what we have to do is find how many guys can we get ready to play in the games. That's it. Whether it's offensive lineman or a guy that might run down in a kickoff. We've got to look through this group and see how many guys we can find that might be able to do that. And the only way to do that is to give them an opportunity. So this is the best way I've thought to do it. At this point, that could be pretty fluid as we go. So we'll give it a go. I don't think we'll do it the whole spring. I'd like to do it up to spring break, which would mean 2 weeks of practice, seven practices.
Is it within the rules? Is it within the NCAA rules?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, the rules involve how many hours they are actually participating. So the practices for the players, frankly, aren't as long as they would be if it was one practice for everybody. You know, they'll probably almost take an hour off of their time on the field.
So your 20-hour time doesn't start until you're on the field for each play.
Yeah, that's right. So the team white deal will start at 11 o'clock, basically. It's easy. That part of it will be easy.
Is that how you'll invite the team to the red white scrimmage, or have you even gotten?
Haven't gotten that far yet. Again, this is the spring game, or our scrimmages will be, I think, less complicated than I'm used to because of the numbers of players that we have, and that will be good. But I really, you know, I don't want to go too far ahead until I look at how this works, and we'll adjust because we can always go back to the original format, but. Our other option on the thing is to go back-to-back in practice, you know, have a team practicing that way, team practicing that way. We could do that. I've done that before, and I find that hard coaching, you know, to really pay attention. So there's, I'm sure, every format you look at has some positives and negatives. And really, the trump card here is this, I think, is best for the players. So
how much live scrimmaging do you want to do this spring?
You know, I haven't outlined all of that yet. Normally what we've done is, you know, about every third practice have some live stuff after we get pads on. You know, and it might be 10 minutes. You guys are going to get eight plays. You guys are going to get five plays. And we just go. We kind of build into it. I don't normally just wait and then have a 120-play scrimmage all of a sudden. We'll just take some periods and say, okay, this is full speed.
The thin numbers at linebacker impacted it all?
The thin numbers at linebacker impacted the whole idea of what I'm talking about. And frankly, we don't have enough really depth at center to necessarily do this either. But we will train some other guys. Cav's always been good at that. You know, we'll train some other guys. He's pretty good at moving people around in the line. You know, so, you know, if a guy can learn the concepts of what we're doing, then he becomes adjustable. We've had some of our very best players in history play every position on the line. So we'll have to adjust at center, and we'll have to adjust at linebacker, but I think there's enough guys to do it.
Mike, could you outline how you're going to kind of handle the quarterback competition? I mean, how do you go into it? And, you know, does Tommy's experience count mm-hmm. more than another guy? And could you just kind of discuss that?
How are we going to handle the quarterback situation is the question. And does Tommy's experience lend into this, how we're going to handle it itself? So, and yes, Tommy's going to take the snaps. He's going to be on the team red. He's going to take the first snaps. You know, all the guys that have played and started, those guys are going to be the ones that do that. I think that even if we weren't new, even if we were starting fresh, I think it's important for every player to know they have an opportunity to win a job. So, but you have to start somewhere. This is a good place to start. To me, these guys have earned those spots in this program for Tommy to be able to take the first snap and start practicing. And I think we owe it to every player to evaluate it closely as we go and make sure that they are being coached and developed and how much they grow and be able to make a good determination if somebody does indeed win a job down the road. I think that the competition can make everybody rise up. I think the more that we develop the whole team, the more competition there is, the more the team can grow. We want to grow every individual because I think collectively, we'll be a better team. It's just pretty obvious that we can do that. So I think, and guys have a better tendency to grow when they know they have opportunity. So we got to have an environment where guys can feel great about learning, feel great about their opportunity. They're not all going to get, obviously, good news, but we want them to at least know that they're going to get a chance. And I think in doing that, we'll find more players, develop more players. And the quarterback deal after that, just to finish the answer to the quarterbacks, is experience is a big, big factor for every player. Guys that have played in games have an advantage because there's nothing like playing in the games. That is multiplied by some degree for the quarterback. There's nothing like playing in the games for a quarterback. So that experience is good. Our job now is to give the other guys who haven't played very much in the games ample opportunity to progress and compete. And, you know, then we'll have to make a judgment as we go as to where that all sits. But that's how it looks. So this is another possibly good way to get all those quarterbacks. There's six of them. So you have one practice. It's hard to get anybody enough turns. It's going to be hard anyway with two practices to get them enough, but we're going to get more turns with the quarterbacks and they'll get an opportunity to show what they can do.
You're listening a lot more about it, but what's your initial impression of the crop of running backs?
Our initial impression of the crop of running backs is that it looks like a good group of athletes. There's a variety of size there. And it looks like a variety of different kinds of abilities. Backs are unique as to their style and what they bring to the table. And that's probably all I'll say about it until I get to watch them play. It just looks like working out. It's a good group of athletes.
Adam Taylor, I know he had an injury. Is he ready to go?
He is ready. We talked about that just minutes ago, and he has been cleared.
Mike, going back to the quarterbacks, if Tommy's going to kind of go into it as the guy that you put out there first, is there a pecking order behind him at this point?
Is there a pecking order after Tommy at this point if he's going to go in taking the first snaps? Not really. That's where we have to provide opportunity for guys to play. You know, I think that's really all new to us because, you know, there's not that much film to study to necessarily say we could make a good judgment. I don't want to make anything up about who should be the next guy at this point when we really can't watch them on film too much. So we just haven't got to see them. The only thing for us to do is to watch them, coach them, and then watch them practice.
The importance of having a quarterback's coach, something that hasn't been around here for a while.
Well, I really I really think that having Danny Langsdorf be our quarterback coach is very, very positive. He's, you know, just proven through the years with the number of guys he's worked with at our place at Oregon State, and you know, and what he has done in the NFL. I think that basically having that go-to guy for the quarterbacks, even during the day when they want to come up and watch a little more film or talk, have that guy designated. It's really important to me on the staff. Now, I think that, you know, we sacrifice in some areas on our staff to have a full-time special teams coach of one of the nine coaches. That's what Bruce Reed does, you know. But to me, that is also a good decision because Bruce Reed coaches six teams. You know, he coaches field goal block, punt, punt return, kickoff return. He touches lots of guys on the team. So, and I know that he knows that's his number one job. He's not coaching the tight ends for a while and then thinking, well, I got to do the kickoff return now. That's it. So I like that. I also like that about quarterback Dale. This guy, you know, it's obviously a very, very key position in the success of a football team, how that guy performs. So having that relationship, having that guy available, having that one-on-one technique work all the time, I think is absolutely necessary.
Mike, coaching into things, how do you approach defense? Like in that first practice, will you spend time with defense or do you pretty much stay on offense?
You know, probably during the early part of practice, you'd see me in individual time probably watching the quarterbacks, and then probably watching a lot of the throwing taking place when the quarterback starts throwing to the receiver. You know, see if we can beat the air. If you can drop back and throw the ball to a receiver and there's no rush and no coverage, that's a starting point. So that's probably – and then we're going to actually do a little bit more interaction – offense against defense than I've done before, just because I think the question about defense, that's the best way for me to see all the guys together. And it is also offensively, you can go down there and you can run plays, you can throw the ball, you can do a lot against air. And just repeat plays, repeat patterns. And, you know, defensively you need usually somebody to react to. So we're trying to combine both. We're going to give, you know, the offense some individual time, and then we're going to do some interaction with pass skeleton. And so I'll be involved with both groups there. And then when we go team, obviously we'll get – so that's how we kind of blend it.
On a defensive end, what do you guys have right now? I know there's some guys that are kind of tweeners, D tackles, D ends. Yeah. I mean, what do you plan on starting out at defensive end?
Well, I think that there's what do we plan to do defensive end with Randy Gregory being gone, and where do we go from there? I think that I'm going to be able to better answer that question as I look at this team. You know, I think it's a great point. Many times you're looking at that, always looking for really that one guy that can win on a pass rush. And it, you know, it can come from different areas. In this team, I think it could come from the tackles. These tackles are pretty good players. We have had, in our history, we've had, when we had Victor Butler or a guy like Scotty Crichton at end, those were featured pass rushers. Everybody else complimented them. They were going to win one-on-one. The other guys had to, like I said, compliment them and be in good position. We also had Stephen Paya, and we've got guys like that, I think, at defensive tackle that would win in there against the three technique. So, you know, and I'm not going to be able to really, until we practice and look at it and see how it fits together and who can be that featured third down pass rusher and win like that. We'll just have to watch spring practice. And then it's just like everything. Hopefully we're going to learn more and more about these guys, take their abilities and enhance them put them in a position to use those abilities in the game. That's what we have to do. So,
how do you balance kind of evaluating talent and trying to morph your system around what you have?
How do you balance evaluating with putting a system in, you know, and coaching football? I think that I actually believe that teaching and developing initially is the most important part of what we've got to do. We got to take this group and coach it. Now, as we go, we'll learn. We'll learn, you know, what to do. We're going to have, we always have a foundation of what we're going to do. So we can go out there and run shingle, a pass pattern that we had. We'll run that wherever we are, whatever we do. It's just very simple play, and it's always in. So in doing that, we'll get a little bit better idea, I think, of what guys can do, and then we'll go from there. We also have a little, you know, like I would, you know, I think a guy, I can look at the film from a year ago. I can watch him in the off-season program and say with a guy like DeMornay, you know, we can run the fly sweep with them. We can run our wide receiver screens. We can run our reverses with them, and we can run the post, you know. And then we got to teach him a comeback to the field, and that's a pretty good package for a guy, you know. So a little bit of what we're teaching, we got a little bit of an idea already. We have to just do that with more players.
From what you've seen on film of Tommy, as he fits into your system, does his skill set lend himself to an easy transition into your system, or is it going to be a project?
Well, I think that Tommy certainly has proven, and you know, my experience with him is watching a little bit of practice during bowl, watching the bowl game, which I thought was impressive. And you know, we have had in our system, you know, it's a loose term a little bit, because our system varied from Derek Anderson to what Lyle Moivau did, right? Lyle was a heck of a quarterback, but he didn't have that same reach on the throws that Derek did or that Mannion did. But what he did, he was also, we have these patterns that include these deep angles. Lyle was probably the best angle thrower that we've ever had, you know, so that was more of a featured thing for him. And as you would adapt like we will as we watch Tommy. Now we're going to put our stuff in and see the throws that he can make within what we do, and then we have to adapt. And everything I've seen, we're going to just go with it, you know. And then we're going to, the other part of it is we won't do all, I think we have to be real careful about how much we do right now. So we're not going to do that, and we are going to add a little bit more of some stuff that we haven't done, because like I've mentioned before, we've never really had an athlete like Tommy. So a little bit of quarterback run and the things that we can do in that part of it, even with all the other guys, it looks like to me at quarterback here, that's a really good weapon to have. That is a, you know, if you watch teams that are, you look at who has been really, really good third down conversion teams, you just look at the stats, and then you look like, you know, I've seen teams be at 50% and say, you know, I'm going to study them in the off season and see what are they doing on third down to be so efficient. Be plus 50% is really good. Well, invariably, the quarterback's running on a lot of those third and mediums. Either he's going to pull the ball down off a pass and go get it. That was Andrew Luck when he first started going. You know, they had a great third down percentage. A lot of the time, he's just making a play. So that versatility is big. Or designated quarterback runs, because when you run the ball with the quarterback, you basically have to block one less guy. I mean, that's why the spread offense is so hard. It isolates people, makes it hard, and the quarterback as a weapon running the ball instead of just turning and always handing it off and then being a non-factor, basically, it's a real threat and can be very important on third down. So we're also going to be excited about looking as to what we might add in the offense with guys like play quarterback here right now. I think it's kind of fun.
Watching the film on Tommy and seeing his arm strength, who would you compare it to when you coached before?
I think Lab.
Probably, yeah. And I think he's got quick arm. He's a very, one of the things I first look at a quarterback is how natural he is. Just kind of, you know, the natural rhythm of throwing the ball and a relatively quick release, and it just looks comfortable for him. And I think Tommy's very natural throwing, and I thought Lyle Moivau was one of the most natural guys that we ever had, you know. And we had some good guys, and they all had a little bit – quarterbacks all have a little bit different motion, but.
Hey, Mike, how much has this last month since recruiting finished given you and your staff the opportunity to start to develop some relationships with these guys, spend a little time with them, and what kind of a priority is that through the spring?
How much time have we had since signing date to be able to kind of start a, you know, the normal relationship between coaches and players is the question. And that's a good one. I think for our assistant coaches, I think that they have used this time well in getting to know these players, know their position, know more than that on the team. I think it's been really good. I think the one that's behind on all that is me. You know, I don't like this feeling right now. You know, I walk by, most of the team don't know their name yet. So that's a strange thing for me. But it will pass as we go. I think spring practice will help. But I think that is, you know, in a transition deal. And, you know, because I not only was gone a lot during recruiting, I was gone after that doing some speaking stuff. So I missed. At one point, I think I'd had the job for 75 days and been in Lincoln for 30. So I'm here for a stretch now, so I got a shot. What's your name again?
What kind of attitude do you want to see the players display starting Saturday?
Well, I think that, you know, the one thing we have to establish is the team that's going to play hard. So an attitude of, we want to out, and these are very simple things, so this is not rocket science. But I think that the investment leads to the effort. And so we want to put a lot in, and then we want to play hard, and we want to play harder than the other guys. So we got to prepare to do that and practice like that. So the effort in practice is a big deal. The other thing is we want an attitude of learning, because we want the combination of playing hard and smarter than the other guys too. We got to be, and so you do that through, again, being invested in the game, learning about what you're doing, learning your adjustments, and just being very, very sound. And then it's this part. This should be the time. This should be fun, but it's got to have an element of, you know, focus too. You know, this is not a time for messing around. I'm not a big fan at all of a bunch of trash talking, or, you know, I think that you practice self-control just like you practice how to run the drive play. And so those are all elements that we will reinforce as to what it should look like in practice.
All right, well, let's coach get out of here.
Good to see you guys.
That's Mike Riley just wrapping up his news conference out in Lincoln as he just
got, that's interesting.
He got it all done. He talked about a lot of different things. I think it's interesting. One of the things that struck me was his discussion about Tommy actually kind of reminds him of Andrew Luck and using some athleticism. To me, it seems like he's pretty well invested in Tommy being the starting quarterback and being able to use him in a lot of ways that Nebraska's somewhat used to. That's early on. See, it's easy to say.
I told you so. Clowns.
I think a good coach always adjusts to their personnel. They always adjust to their personnel. So, again, a lot of times he might be looking for a pro-style quarterback, but if he's able to sign one that's actually a great option quarterback, you ingrain that in your offense, and you teach them how to throw a little bit better. If you got a Colin Kaepernick, you use them differently than you would use an Andrew Luck.
Also,
and you would recruit both. You would recruit both.
We're going to take a break and then talk a little bit more, because obviously this split practice thing, that's what caught my attention. Farmers, the 2015 irrigation season fast approaching. You're not always going to get the precipitation like we had overnight to take care of your field. That's why you need to find out more about what pivot system is in your field. And once you research it a little bit more, you'll know TNL is the way to go. TNL's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems have superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of TNL's hydraulic design, which makes it easier for you and takes better care of your crops. Just a few of the reasons why you should contact your local TNL dealer or even visit them online at TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation Systems, like no other. Back with more after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
But Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Struggling to talk to aging parents about moving? Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village has the answer. Join us for a special presentation on Thursday, March 19th, and discover the secret to having the talk with your aging parents. Enjoy a delicious soup supper, personal tours, and door prizes. Call Hastings Village to reserve your seat, then come to the Villa Assisted Living on Thursday, March 19th. Seniors and their family members are encouraged to attend together. Seats are limited, so call Hastings Village today. Discover senior living at its finest at Hastings Village on March 19th.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Going to jump back into Mike Rowley's press conference, because I think maybe he's going to make an appearance Thursday at Cunningham's. I don't know the comedian, but let's do our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, and this brings up that black and white thing, that yes and no thing, I never know, but of course we had the brawl on Monday night in the Texas game. Under current NCAA basketball rules, any player who leaves the bench during a fight or altercation is automatically ejected from the game. Is this a good thing? And Jared Crick and I, and again, a big thanks to the big fella for being in yesterday. It was, I thought, a great show.
I thought it was too.
I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but I thought it was really cool. And to have J.J. Watt and Carricker and Clay Anderson from Outer Space and some great stories from T. Moore, it was great to have them all on the show. And we always love it when Crick's around. But I talked about it. If it's 3-on-1, how do you not go out and try and help your guy?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the 60-year-old, 70-year-old ref isn't stepping in the middle of this.
No, no, no.
So what is supposed to happen? Leave it to the coaches?
I hate one-size-fits-all kind of rules like that to begin with. I think you apply some common sense. Take a look at it. Are you trying to help or are you trying to hurt? If you're trying to maintain law and order and your presence gets there and you break up the fight, you shouldn't get ejected for breaking up a fight, but that's how the rule currently is written. You've left the bench area. You're kicked out of the game because you tried to break up a fight. And that just that boggles my mind. It doesn't make sense. I understand why the NCAA has it as a general kind of idea. If you leave the area and you're not putting water on the flames, then maybe we get you kicked out. But if you're trying to break up the fight, to me, that's it just seems that we have one solution, and you don't have one solution to any given problem. You have to use some more common sense.
And the penalty, now again, the conference and the school can make a bigger penalty, but the NCAA penalty as it sits is you could be the instigator, you could have thrown a punch, and a guy takes three steps onto the floor, and you're both out of game.
Yeah, that's way different. And again, that just doesn't – we're not applying common sense. And that's the problem I have with that rule.
89% said, yep, you're suspended. So that's the way our listeners think today. How about this? Should NFL running back Adrian Peterson remain with the Vikings or be signed by another team? We've talked about this on the show. I don't know if you've been a guest host the day that we've talked about it. And you can vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings. Vote on it at ESPNSuperstation.com. I don't know all the situation, all the details, and it's up to Adrian Peterson how he's been treated. But my stance on this is, as a non-Viking fan, and now that they're bringing up the Dallas Cowboys, and I am a Dallas Cowboy fan, my stance is stay with the Vikings. Now, if you don't like, if you didn't want to be with the Vikings anyway and wanted to go try and find, because right now they're struggling, and if you don't think they're going to be good and that's the reason you want to go, go. But I don't think they've been out of line the whole time here, the Vikings, with Adrian Peterson. It is not a major market. It is not a firestorm if you went to New York, if you went to Dallas, if you went to
would be the media
Chicago. And I just think it's a safe, if that's the word you want to, I want to use here, it's a safe spot for him to re-enter.
You're not
going to
get the national attention. You're still going to get the local media, local newspaper, local talk shows, local television stations, all that stuff. You're still going to get that local, but it's not going to be the national firestorm if he went someplace. It's a tough one in that it's a bad PR move to have him. You know, I mean, it's a public relations nightmare. You got to convicted child abuser running your football. However, the other side of the coin is he's done his time. There is a policy in place for the NFL. He's going to be cleared to play because he will have paid the penalty both in the regular court system and with the NFL discipline policy. At that point, I think it's time to move on. If Michael Vick can play, who consciously wanted to hurt.
Well, yeah.
And again, difference between dogs and your own son. I mean, I fully understand that.
But he's going to be able to play in the NFL.
He's
going to
play somewhere. Why not here?
Yeah.
Okay. Why not here? I don't understand why not here. And again, maybe he's burned some bridges and stuff like that. And like you say, there could be some other things behind the scenes that we don't know about. But I see personally no reason why he shouldn't play for the Vikings.
Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Getting back to Mike Riley's spring press conference, I'm sure that the heads of the media had to be turning in that press conference in Lincoln this morning when Coach Riley explained. I mean, it's going to be way different, and he's never done it before. He's going to be splitting practice, and I would think this would just make for extremely longer days, and this is the way that they're handling something that they haven't handled before. So whether it's right or wrong, whether it turns into be a genius move, there's so many hours in the day, and the practices have to be longer no matter what they're saying, not individually, the way they're split up, but for the coaches.
Yeah.
And they've got all this.
You're doubling your coaches' practice time.
Yeah, you're doubling what the coaches need to do out there. And I think it'll be interesting. And
well,
I guess nobody really knows what to expect. But obviously it's one that makes your eyes open up, makes you perk up a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's looking at things a little bit different, being outside the box. What I probably would envision happening, because coaches will break down the film outside of practice time and then be able to talk to them, I think that's going to cut down on that. Maybe they turn that over to more grad assistants, some other people to kind of break down film for them or whatever, because I really kind of anticipate that all these coaches are working 18 hours a day, whether the coaches have two practice times or one. They're still going to be putting in about the 18 hours a day during the period of spring football, and it's just going to be look a little bit different. And then they can break those films down and say, all right, in the fall, here's some things that we need to kind of work on. So I think it'll change how they do things, but I don't necessarily think it'll add more time to the amount of time that the coaches are going to be doing it. It's just going to change how it looks.
And I thought, obviously, more than 50%, way more, the press conference was pointed towards the offense with a lot of quarterback questions, but way more on the offense than the defensive side of the football.
Yeah. You know what? Offense always gets more attention from the media. I don't think that the coaches are putting any more attention to the offense versus the defense. I think it's pretty evenly split, but people pay a lot more attention to offense than they do defense, and you answer the questions that you're asked. And I think the media drove it to, let's find out what the quarterback's going to look like, what's the offense going to look like, because people are more interested in that than they are whether or not it's a 3-4 or 4-3. You know, I just think people are more interested in the X's and O's on the offensive side.
My media brothers down there hammered the quarterback thing, and again, I'll say as over the next 6 months, what do you think the Huskers are going to do this year, Duda? Well, what do you think the record's going to be? My response, as it has been, I've kind of learned, get your one response, and to all your folks that we've talked to, whether they're closest friends or family or whether they're just somebody you meet on the street, I'm going to say, obviously, from the Mike Riley, got to win, baby. But this running back thing, I harped on quarterback last year. It was a little bit of a problem. I'm going to harp on running back this year. And there weren't a whole lot of questions. Adam Taylor's cleared to play, and what else do we have? I mean, replacing Amir Abdullah is the biggest question mark on this football team, people.
Yeah, no question.
And you better get ready for it, because it don't matter what Tommy does if we can't run the football. You saw what Tommy did when we could run the football. What happens if we can't run the football that effective?
And to me, I don't look at that as much as a running back issue, because I think we can do it running back by committee. I look at that a lot more as an offensive line issue. I think some of the biggest issues we had on the offense last year was on the line, and that's actually been the case the last couple of years. You're as good of a running football team as your offensive line is. Your Dallas Cowboys are a great example of that. They made some major upgrades to their offensive line. Now DeMarco Murray is a stud where he was okay before. Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, and that is that your Cowboys drafted your offensive tackle right before the Dolphins were going to take him. Thank you very little. But the point is, I think you need to improve your offensive line. Nobody ever asks a question about the offensive line. They never do. But to me, that's the strength of a football team, offensive and defensive lines. You're good there. You're good, period.
And then the comedian comes out and compares Tommy Armstrong to Andrew Luck.
There was no chuckles there. I think he's talking about the arm strength, and I think I don't know. Well, I like Tommy Armstrong.
Tommy
like
can throw the deep ball. We all know that. It's the intermediate route that has given him trouble so far. And he's just going to be a junior, so I get it.
Right.
He doesn't have touch on the ball. He has power on the ball.
Well, and I think part of the issue there, and here's one of the differences between Andrew Luck and Tommy Armstrong, is seeing the play before the snap. Yeah, knowing where people are going to be, when I got to throw it, which step I have to throw it. And that's a gift that you have with you, a quarterback like Andrew Luck. Peyton Manning has the exact same thing. Tom Brady, I think, they're very cerebral. They kind of know where they're at. And they kind of can see the play before it happens. Warren Moon was like that. Warren Moon didn't have a strong arm necessarily, but he was always able to kind of throw the ball in the right area and to the right receiver. Tommy Armstrong doesn't necessarily have that just yet. But again, he's got 2 full years as a starting quarterback yet before he has to graduate. I mean, there's a pretty high ceiling for this kid.
Got a couple other sports stories to talk about here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Elongated again today because of the Mike Riley press conference. Want to thank Holly Carnes, Brenda Van Langen for joining us before the press conference. Let's give you a chance to win a couple of tickets to Cunningham's Comedy Night, which is every Thursday night. The early show is at 7:30. That's what these two tickets are for. The late show is at 10:30. You're welcome to either of them. Daryl Rhodes is the comedian this week, and if you're looking for some laughs, the place to be is Cunningham's. We are going to play a comedy clip. You tell us either the actor or the movie television show that it's from, and there are many ways to do it. You can leave your information on our Facebook page. You can email us your answer to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, 308-646-0506, 646-0506. And here is this week's Cunningham's comedy clip.
All right, let's hear what Mama has to say on the subject.
Mama say that happiness is from magic rays of sunshine that come down when you're feeling blue.
Well, folks, Mama's wrong again.
No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. Mama's right.
Mama's right. Something wrong with his medulla oblongata.
I I'm just picturing Crick yesterday. Just
who is it? What movie is it from? Or who is the actor? All you have to do is give us your name, your phone number, so that we can contact you if you're the winner, and of course the answer to this week's Cunningham's Comedy Clip. And again, email the Dent Popper inbox, comment on our Facebook post, or call the comedy line, 646-0506. We'll randomly pick out a winner this afternoon, and you'll get a pair of tickets to Cunningham.
And the Facebook page has the actual audio clip again, and just put the comment right in there. We can't make it any easier, can we?
We're going to take a break, give you the boys' state basketball brackets when we return.
I'm a Ford guy. My dad was a Ford guy, and so was my dad's dad. But more to the point, I'm a Crossroads Ford guy. The pickup my dad used to teach me to drive came from Crossroads. The Ford my son will learn to drive comes from Crossroads, too. Why have I stuck by them? Because they've stuck by us. From regular maintenance to the repairs when the driving lessons don't go very well, Crossroads has earned our trust. Their family has always taken care of our family. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
The 30th Annual Vital Signs Health Fair is March 28th and 29th at the Adams County Fairgrounds. Register now at marylanning.org. On the top row, find the red star in the words Health Fair. Click there and complete the registration form. For those without computer access, contact Butler Vollen Funeral Home for registration help, weekdays 1 to 5 p.m. Either way, your packet will be waiting for you when you arrive at the health fair. Pre-registration is open now through 5 p.m. March 25th at marylanning.org or with help from Butler Vollen.
Safety is more than just carrying a gun. It's knowing how to carry. The Nebraska Safety Center in Kearney offers a concealed carry weapon class that meets all the requirements to earn a concealed carry permit from the state. The 8-hour class, March 8th, includes classroom and range instruction. Participants must be 21, already proficient in firearm skills, and may not bring their firearms or ammunition to the classroom. More details and registrations are available on the Nebraska Safety Center website. Concealed carry class, Saturday, March 8th. Another service of the Nebraska Safety Center.
After the storm passes, our job begins. With local claim service, Farmers Mutual Hail will be on the scene fast to evaluate your damage and get you back on your feet. With well over 100 years of financial stability, Farmers Mutual Hail is the calm after the storm. For service, stability, and satisfaction, look for the Cloud and Kroll Agency, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Contact the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Roseland, and Hastings today. Farmers Mutual Hail and Kroll Agency are equal opportunity providers.
Doug and Daddy's show, wrapping things up on this Wednesday program. We will have a show from Lincoln tomorrow, right after the Minden-Pierce game, and we'll go over that in a moment. But tomorrow, we're baseball heavy. The Huskers are headed down to the Houston Classic, and I'm just, the way the week has gone, trying to get everybody on, and it's been great. I'm loving it. It's a great problem to have. But we've got Paul Maneri, LSU baseball coach, second in the country. We'll talk with Paul. Haven't talked with him since the College World Series a couple of seasons ago. Rob Childress, Texas A&M baseball coach, former Husker assistant. Always great catching up with Rob Childress. We'll do that tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Huskers play A&M Friday, Hawaii Saturday, and Sunday it's LSU. We'll also talk with Hastings girls basketball coach Greg Mays. They have been on a long drought, 98 since the last time they've been at state. They'll play tomorrow night against North. We'll talk with him. We'll also be talking about the Harvest for Hunger on tomorrow's show, and it'll all be coming your way from Lincoln tomorrow. So right after Minden-Pierce, I'll switch on over here to ESPN. We'll bring you the Doug and Daddy Show. And that's where the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast will be. And my Midway Dodge Durango is going to get me down there. Always does.
You will not have it unless you run out of gas. And that is not going to be the Durango's fault when that happens.
Did that once. Not in this vehicle. Had a flat tire once. Not in this vehicle on the interstate. Never any fun.
Oh.
And if you do have a problem, Midway's going to take care of you. Before you head out on the road, make sure your tires are good. Make sure that everything is as it needs to be. We've got a couple of weeks of state basketball here. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, clearing out the remaining 2014 inventory. There's not a lot left, but what they do have, big discounts, folks. You can buy a used vehicle similar to those for about the same as these brand new vehicles. So as we've had Andy on the show in the past, he talks about when they are moving these out, the deals that you can get on last year's model. So check it out today. Your Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, proud sponsors of the Buffalo County Fair. And I'm bringing this out again because I'm jacked about Alabama being part of the Buffalo County Fair this July.
Hey, I've heard of them.
Thanks, Midway.
I'm not a country guy, but I've heard of Alabama. I would probably know half their songs, and I'm not a country guy. Does that give you an idea? A lot of crossover. A lot of crossover success.
By the way, there's Pro Day tomorrow at Nebraska as well. So scouts will be on hand watching the former Huskers go through the motion at Pro Day.
Did not know that. I'd be interested to see where I'm interested to see where Abdullah goes. And again, Gregory, I kind of thought he needed to improve his resume because I don't know if he's going to be one of those first 5-6 picks like a lot of people thought early on. It seems to me that his stock has fallen a little bit.
You know, almost all the time, our friends at the Journal Star, Omaha World, Herald, Stu, Riley, Jane, Ron, Mike, whoever, boys or girls, they'll sit down and they'll go, well, here's the unofficial because we have to wait till this morning. Who wants to wait till middle of the day to find out the official state pairings? We need to know now. They're almost always right. They did miss one this year.
Yeah,
and it was a local one. Let's take a look at the official boys basketball bracket. It comes in B because Adams Central and Scotts Bluff had the exact same wild card points. And I know the coach won't play it this way, but this was one time you kind of wanted to lose the tiebreaker, in my opinion. Adams Central has drawn Elkhorn South, and Scotts Bluff has drawn Sydney. Here are the brackets officially for next week's boys state tournament. Class B at the Bob Devaney Sports Center. Adams Central will be taking on Elkhorn South. The final game is at 8:45. In Class C1, all games are at the Sports Center. Grand Island Central Catholic will take on Shadron at 10:45. In Class C2, games are at Lincoln Northeast at 3:45. Southern Valley, the 3 seed, will take on Archbishop Bergen. And then at 7 o'clock, the top seed Hastings St. Cecilia will take on Hardington Cedar Catholic. In Class D1, man, and I look at that and I go, North Platte St. Pat's didn't get in?
No.
Crime. An absolute crime.
They're a good basketball team.
Absolute crime. Okay, did I just notice this? Hold on. Let me look here. Let's see, I don't have all the info in front of me.
What are you looking for?
Well, I needed to see who got the other wild card there in C2 besides Southern Valley. What am I missing? I got to look real quick. Anyway, then in D1, Bruning Davenport Shickley will have the 9 a.m. game against Sutherland at Lincoln Southeast, and Amherst will have the 3:45 game against High Plains at Lincoln Southeast. And in D2, at Lincoln Northeast, next Thursday morning, Wilcox-Hildreth will play Exeter Milligan at 10:45, and at 7 o'clock at Lincoln Southeast in D2, Bertrand will play the top seed in Bancroft-Rosalie.
I think Brad Bridgeport won, so I think you're the number 2 seed. I think Freeman. I think they may have lost in the district final. I think they might be wild card. It's either going to be Freeman or it would have to be either Freeman or the 4C Bridgeport.
Well, Bridgeport's the one that knocked everybody out. I think
that's right.
It looks like it was Freeman. So Freeman
at 25-2, how do you keep them
up? Okay. All right. Well, that's fine.
Well, again, that's the difficulty. You have to take care of business. If you don't take care of it, you run that possibility that being on the outside looking in. Wilcox-Hildreth, 2 seed, they were assured of a spot yesterday when they played, which was convenient since Tristan Farley couldn't play.
So that's what's going on there. The girls' state tournament tips off tomorrow. Again, one more time, we're following 8 schools on our network of stations and online, PlatteRiverPreps.com. You'll be able to catch them all. And here's what the story is. Here on ESPN, Kearney and Lincoln Northeast, tomorrow night at 8:45. On 12:30 a.m. KHAS, St. Cecilia North Platte St. Pat's at 7, Hastings High Norris at 8:45. On the Breeze, 94.5 FM tomorrow afternoon, Blue Hill and Fullerton. Again, that's at Southwest at 3:45. And then 4 games on Classic Hits 98.9. Minden Pierce at 9 a.m. Kearney Catholic Shadron at 3:45. Giltner, Sandhills, Thedford at 7. Sutton and Freeman at 8:45. Anything else to add to the day, Randall?
Well, it's both good news and bad news. When we get to state basketball, that means, hey, this is the biggest part of the year, but basketball is about to wrap up, man. I mean, you know.
Then we dive into the NCAA tournament. There's games in Omaha. That'll be packed again. And, hey, again, folks, be good fans. Be good fans.
Yeah. Root for your team. And, again, the officials don't care who wins. It's not a vast conspiracy to keep your team from winning.
When is it too soon, by the way?
Too soon?
Yeah.
To do what?
Do I have time? See, what's going on next Wednesday? Can I joke with you next Wednesday?
About?
I don't know. Stuff.
Well, I think there's a statute of limitations that's a year, and you'll still be under that statute of limitations.
Dang
so
it.
We'll be no, you're still good.
We're going to have to go.
After a year, I think we have to let it go.
Then you got
to
let it go.
After a year.
Let it go.
Yeah,
let it
right.
go. Hey, time for lunch. We can hash this out over lunch at the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill.
And by the way, I think you're going to be buying me lunch there,
yeah,
by the way.
No one combines Kentucky the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Great flame-broiled buffalo wings, great home-style pizzas, burgers, salads, quesadillas, some of your favorite foods. You can also get the great appetizers. You can get a great steak there. You can pick up some ribs. They've even got a little salmon on the menu. And Friday, they got some fish out there for you for the Lenten folks. So it's all there at the Chicken Coop. Plus, you sit back, you watch the best time of year in college basketball as we get ready for March Madness. It's only at the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, downtown Kearney. And don't forget, folks, you can go online now and get registered for the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge. And that is up at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Randall, I've got to do better this year.
There's only one direction to go. The difficulty you and I both run into is how much college basketball do we really get to watch through the course of a year because we're going to so many high school games. Not complaining about that at all. Love the high school game. Love being there in person and all that. But I know Kentucky's good. I know Kentucky's good. I know Kansas had a phenomenal comeback last night, but outside of that,
I keep liking Villanova. They hosed me last year. I don't know if I can take them this year. But don't forget, you can get registered now for the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's free, grand prize, LG, big screen TV, 49-incher from Russell's Television Appliance Electronics here in Kearney. That's where the TV is coming from. We've got the best prizes of any bracket from any sports talk show in the state. Guaranteed. We always do unless somebody steps up this time. We got them all beat. So it's free. Get signed up now. That way when the brackets come out Sunday night, the 15th, you'll be set and ready to go. Bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah, it's free. Therefore, it's legal. All right, open the door for you. That's okay. We'll wrap. We'll go through that door next week. I'm sure we will. Sure we will. And I'm the one that gets in trouble. That's all I'm saying. Langan, no. Me, yes. Got it.
No. Well, you gotta do better. You gotta do better. Hey, folks, tomorrow, again, we will be live in Lincoln at the Girls State Basketball Tournament. Enjoy the games, and the Doug and Daddy Show will feature baseball coaches Rob Childress of Texas A&M, Paul Maneri of LSU, Hastings Girls Basketball Coach Greg Mays. We'll talk about Harvest for Hunger and keep you updated on what's going on at Girls State. We want to thank our guests today, Coach Holly Carnes, UNK softball, a UNK alum, and national women's basketball analyst Brenda Van Langen for joining us, and, of course, Mike Riley's press conference will also be up on our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. See you tomorrow, folks. Have a great Wednesday.
ESPN Superstation Sports Center. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, a Sports Center update on ESPN. The Nebraska men's basketball team will be looking to break a 6-game losing streak when they play at Illinois tonight. The Huskers have not won a game since February 3rd when they beat Northwestern 76-60 at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Nebraska head coach Tim Miles.
There's no doubt a confidence, a swagger you lose at a certain point. But, you know, that's where you depend on your leadership. But, you know, that's when your coach has got to take over. You know, and that's when, because they don't listen when things are good. When, you know, some of those guys have hit 2-3 threes in a row or something's going on in those fantastic moments in Husker basketball history in the last three seasons, you know, they don't need me in those timeouts, right? They know they've got it. But now that you don't have that and you've got to earn that confidence back.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
You've got to do it by just doing the absolute little things right over and over again.
Nebraska is 13-16 in the season, 5-11 in the big.